The title of this talk is Krishna Consciousness Doesn't Mean Just Believing, It Also Means Belonging. And we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. Vatshita Majkata Prana Bodhiyantash Parashparam Katayantas Chamam Nityam Tushanti Cha Ramanti Cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Please repeat. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna. They take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they're actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection, which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe. And out of them, there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma-jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that planet grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavana, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as the plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. The plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live, even for a moment, without being in contact with the Supreme Lord. Just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. As stated in the Bhagavatam itself, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. So the text again, Matshita Matshkata Prana, Bodhiyantash Parashparam, Katanyantash Ram Nityam, Tu Shanti Charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paskyadhyade Sitarane. So generally our format every day here in the class is that there's a speaker such as myself and we give out the information to everyone. Because the information is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surprise. And that we're all his eternal servants. Any questions? No, but actually here the process is supposed to be that we discussing with each other, not just one person, has understood Krishna. If you go to the spiritual world, as we can see in the Krishna book, there are gopis in the 35th chapter of the and other chapters too. They're meeting each other during the day and they're talking about Krishna. Not just one, but that's what they all do. There's no talk of economic development in the spiritual world. There's no talk of liberation. There's no training. There's no bad news in the spiritual world. Sometimes you hear news that some demon has come and attacked Krishna, but those are all just yoga maya. There are no demons in the spiritual world. There are only rumors of demons to further Krishna's pastimes. So similarly here, when we get together, we hear about Krishna, but also when we go home in our family, that's what we should be talking about, is Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Nitya cha samachistas tvam, Ishta Nishta Papadishu. Itya cha samachitya tvam Ishta Nishta Papadishu. Amaridvam Adambidvam Ahimsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Pasanam Socham Stiryam Atma Vinigraha Indriyarte Shu Vairagyam Anahankar Evacha Janma Mrityu Jarada Vyadi Dukha Dosha Nidarshanam Asakta Anabishvanga Putra Dara Grihadishu. It's the actual text number 10. It's 8, 9, 10. Attachment from wife, children, home, and the rest. But Prabhupada's purport is not exactly what it means, what detachment from wife, home, children, the rest. It's not our typical understanding that the brahmachari goes home. His parents haven't seen him, that he was a brahmachari. And the mother rushes to embrace the child. Oh, son, it's so nice to see you. Immediately goes, stop! Don't touch me. You're a woman. I'm a what? You're my son. Yeah, I'm not your son. You're in the Bali concept of life. What did they do to you? They gave me some intelligence. Don't touch me. So this is not exactly bhakti. Prabhupada sometimes had to deal with such situations. His disciples were overly enthusiastic about renunciation, but they didn't really understand what renunciation was. They took it fanatically. But actually, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, if you have the purport, it's in the middle of the purport. As for detachment from children, do you see that? It's like three pages afterwards. Well, it's more. It's one, two, three. It's on the fourth page. As for detachment from children, wife, home, it's not meant that one should have no feelings for these. You're my wife, but don't get near me. You're Maya. So Prabhupada said, that's not what it means. Just like Priyavrata Maharaj, he was instructed to be, by his father, Swayambhuva Manu, to become the head of the universe. He was sitting on the top of a big mountain named Gandamandana Hill, and Narimuni was instructing him. So Narimuni was instructing him in renunciation to give up any attachment to the material world and simply focus the mind upon Krishna. And Priyavrata Maharaj was accepting the instructions. When his father, Lord Brahma, came, along with his grandfather, Lord Brahma, and his father, Swayambhuva Manu, along with Lord Shiva and others, came to convince Priyavrata Maharaj to take up the position of ruling the universe. But that's the last thing he wanted to do. He didn't want to rule the universe. He wanted to get out of the universe. But there are four Mahajans. There's Lord Shiva was there, Lord Brahma was there, Swayambhuva Manu. And there was Narada Muni. And finally, Priyavrata had to agree because Narada Muni didn't want to go against his father. And he had to take up ruling the universe. So he became the Manu, Priyavrata. And he ruled over the whole universe. But in order to do that, he had to get married. Because a man doesn't rule over the universe by himself. He has to perform sacrifice. And sacrifice obliges one to have a wife, because she's half the sacrifice. So in the relationship of ruling the universe, if Priyavrata Maharaj would have been detached, completely detached from his wife, then the whole universe would have followed his example and there would have been a mess. So his wife had to play the part of an attractive, alluring wife, submissive wife, and Priyavrata Maharaj had to take the part of a husband who was submissive and attracted to his wife. So his wife dressed very nicely. She glanced at him very sweetly. And he accepted it all part of his service to Krishna. But within himself, he always remained absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He played his part externally perfectly. Otherwise, his wife dressing attractively and very sweetly serving her husband, she would have been frustrated if it wasn't accepted. And if he would have been detached, then the whole universe would have become cold and without relationship, and no one would make any progress in material or spiritual. So they both played their role perfectly, but they played it in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in household life, it can go to one extreme or another, which generally, because we're not trained up and how to be balanced, therefore we generally go to one extreme. Either we're completely absorbed in sense gratification and economic development, or we're completely absorbed in dharma and liberation. Either we're completely detached, going for liberation. I see my wife just like you know, any other bit of furniture in the house. Or we see, you know, as one Mataji said, I was chased. When I got married, I was chased. I was chased everywhere in the house by my husband. So that kind of chastity is not what, being chased is not what we're looking for, nor is this cold, impersonal. So how to balance it? So Prabhupada writes, they are natural objects of affection. But when they're not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you already have memorized part of the Bhagavad Gita. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of the family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following the four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it's not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members for impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world, no one can be fully happy or fully miserable. So here the idea is that if we want to be happy, then we have to belong. But we have to know how to belong. That Krishna consciousness is not just believing that Krishna is God, it's actually learning how to belong to Krishna's family. And that Krishna's family can be started belonging to a family means family, a marriage is also part of Krishna's family. Just like a body is made out of different cells. The body is not just one cell, it's made out of innumerable, thousands and millions of cells. So similarly, a society of Krishna's devotees is also made out of different individual cells, like individual family cells. So to belong to Krishna's service, to belong to Krishna's family, also means to belong to the smaller families. But we have to learn how to belong. Now, everyone is looking for happiness, and the material world, happiness is generally found principally in family life. Material happiness, at least. And also spiritual happiness can be found in family life. Now, Prabhupada gives a formula that if we want to make our families happy, then we have to sit down with them morning and evening and chant Hare Krishna together. Read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship of the deities, and this will make the family life happy as it can be. That if we learn to love Krishna, and then it's simultaneously, then we can learn to love each other also in relationship to Krishna. If we become purified in heart, then our natural love will come out. To think that love will come out through economic development and sense gratification is a misunderstanding. That's not love, that's business. But there's real love in everyone's heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sado Kavinoy. And the best way of making the family life successful and happy is to bring out that love, because that's what family life is meant for. And it's most easily brought out by the process of bhakti, whether Grihe Thakur, Vani Thakur, whether we're in a household life, or in brahmachari life, or in the forest, or sannyasi. The best way of learning to love others is to engage in Krishna consciousness with others. Then we can develop a sense of belonging to the family. Krishna consciousness is not meant to detach us from the family, but actually to develop a sense of not only obligation, duty, which is also rare nowadays. People have become devoid of duty because they don't understand karma. They don't understand reaction. They don't understand benefit of doing things dutifully. There's no training. But duty is not the only thing. There should also be feeling. But feeling can only, because Krishna consciousness is not just an idea or a philosophy, it's supposed to be an experience. And the experience is not supposed to be only when you come to the temple and only when you're in front of the deities or only when you're in front of your Guru Maharaj that any feeling comes out. That it's supposed to be 24 hours a day in all circumstances. But at least when we sit down with our family or we come to the temple with a bigger family, then we chant together and hear it together and take prasadam together, etc., then this is an opportunity to develop some feeling towards others, some positive feeling, some appreciation. That if we appreciate each other in relationship to Krishna, then that appreciation can grow. Just like we can appreciate the great personalities in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can appreciate the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should be able to, by spiritual advancement, appreciate the great personalities even in our family if they're chanting Hare Krishna. Because as soon as one is chanting Hare Krishna or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then they're not material anymore. They're under the spiritual energy. They're under Daivi Prakriti. They're actually manifestations of the spiritual energy, and therefore they become worshipable as instruments of Krishna. And therefore we hear even our family and appreciate how they're calling out to develop their relationship with Krishna, then family life becomes spiritual life. And similarly, when families get together in small groups, then they can, and even in the family, they can sit down and tell what their realizations are to each other. Not that they have to come to the temple and hear from the sannyasi that only the sannyasi knows Krishna and everyone else is a dodo. They say. They have no idea who Krishna is. Unless the sannyasi opens his mouth, or my Guru Maharaj opens his mouth, then Krishna doesn't come out. No, we have to learn how to value how others are also instruments for Krishna under the spiritual energy. That Krishna is giving everyone that unique experience in Krishna consciousness. And when people are able to express it, then they feel like they're contributing something. They feel that they're doing something valuable, and therefore they feel more obliged to become more Krishna conscious. Because Krishna reciprocates with their service, others appreciate it, and they become enlivened. Rather than constantly hearing and hearing and hearing and never expressing. That we've already heard enough from others, now the question is what we're going to do. And the first thing we have to do is sit down, make our lives in such a way is that we have as much opportunity as possible to hear about Krishna. Not that only the temple is sanctified, only when the deities are there, etc., and we have an official class, then Krishna comes. Otherwise, he's way in the spiritual world. He doesn't have time for my family. He's too busy herding cows. No, Krishna will come anywhere. And if we allow our family members to say something about Krishna, even to read the Krishna book together or something, then they feel like they're participating and contributing. Then they feel like they're a member, they're becoming part of a family who has the same interest. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then they'll find so many other interests. If we don't sit together and pay attention to what Krishna activities, then people will find other activities to do. And then having a family will be quite a burden. But if the family gets together, chants together, prays together, takes prasadam together, then everyone has the same interest, and therefore it becomes much more easy to help each other, to develop what's the most valuable, eternal life. What could be more important to do than developing something eternally? What can be a higher activity for our family? And helping them attain eternal life, go back to this blissful spiritual world forever. So that's what's explained here. So let's see if anyone has any comments or questions. Do we have a microphone? Someone can give their realizations, what they heard. Anyone understood anything or realized anything? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I would just like to ask, for example, if one is in family and how to talk about Krishna with other family members, like brothers, sisters, or parents, but they're not inclined to much. They may be acceptable, but they are not inclined. Where is this limit to not build bridges?
Well, I guess what you could do is you could tie them down.
Yeah. This is almost impossible.
Or you get a megaphone and blast out. No, I mean, one has to use one's intelligence. Therefore, with our family members, generally speaking, whatever they say, we agree with. And we go, yes, 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 yes. And we never follow their advice because it's usually useless. But we always agree with them. That way we don't get into trouble. But hopefully we got married to someone who has some interest in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's going to be very uncomfortable. And the children, if we cultivate them at an early age in a loving way, they identify Krishna consciousness as something positive. And then at least some point of their life, they'll be interested in participating with us. But for those who have grown up, especially our parents and our relatives, and then try to, the best thing to do is to give them some nice prasadam if they'll accept it. But no, don't try to, the last person they want to hear from philosophy, tell them about how to live life is from their children. It's perpetually, throughout the centuries, it's been a conflict. We don't have to join the conflict. Therefore, one of the things, we don't preach the unfaithful, no matter how close a relative they are. We have to be careful. I remember with my mother, for I was 50 years or a little less than that, my mother never wanted to hear anything about Krishna. And one day she said, anyhow, what is Krishna consciousness all about? And she goes, no, don't tell me, it's all right. So I never told her anything. She didn't want to hear it. She came to the When I first came a devotee, she was so shocked, she actually went to the temple and tried to figure out what happened. But the only thing I ever talked to my mother about was health. She was a health fanatic. She died healthy, by the way. That's what I talked to. That she appreciated. I never talked about anything else except for that. And as a result of that, she gave donations. And she was able to contribute. We kept a fairly good relationship. Okay, so anyone would like to make a comment? What to do? Give her a microphone to her. She can give the microphone to her. Yeah, take the microphone. What did you understand from the class? anything.
It inspired me to read. I have problem with reading, but it's inspired me to reading Bhagavad Gita with family.
Good.
Thank
That's
you.
That's good. Thank you. give it to him. What did you understand from the class?
I remember that this what Prabhupada said in purport that families should come together in the morning and in the evening and chant together. And that somehow is challenging. Although at the beginning you can do it for sometimes, but then later on it's like, I don't know why not, but it's, I think most of the grihasthas then later on somehow, you know, give it up, this practice. And this may be, yeah, maybe challenging.
Yes, probably have to form small groups of night devotees you like. They can get together and chant together.
Yeah, I mean, sanghas are going on, but I mean, just the families that comes in the evening and in the morning together, oof, that's like temple life.
I don't know. So what's the solution?
No, just use intelligence, as you said.
Yeah, in any case, if you talk about Krishna together, or just somehow or another, these books are so nice, if you just read together and pass the book around, not that one person dominates, yeah. And that they all express their whatever, they read something and they express their understanding of it, what they've understood, then it enlivens people to hear their own preaching. They get encouraged. Somehow or another, they could be there. If you teach them the instruments, especially children, you teach them how to play, then they'll want to do it all the time, the kirtan, because they want to play the instrument. Something is there. Krishna will give intelligence. If that's what we want. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.